You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk, episode 323. Today is our season prediction podcast, and we've got Tony joining us. Tony,
good to be back.
Good to have you here, and Tony will be back with us more regularly throughout the season, as well as Kyle. Randall's here as well. And so, basically, I tweeted out some questions today with over and under for you guys to predict if you think different things, Notre Dame's defense, Notre Dame's offense. So we'll go through each one of those items and then give our over or under prediction. And then we've also got some news from Notre Dame's we'll discuss Notre Dame's last press conference last week. And might be some other news as well. So let's go ahead and get started with the offense. Or do you guys have any opening comments? Or
it's game week. Can you actually believe it that it's less than a week? A week from tonight, we'll be talking recap of the Texas game.
It's hard to believe. When it was 3 weeks ago, it seemed really close, and now I'm almost getting nervous that I won't have everything ready for game day.
Well, I'm trying to get everything ready. I'm planning to be there, and I was just looking at the weather. It's supposed to be 80, dropping to 70 degrees, a 0% chance of rain, but it is 80% humidity, so that is basically rain, but it looks like it'll be a great night for football.
So, Ruben, what is you mentioned your game day. What is your game day consist of?
Well, this one's a little bit different. I'm going to be having some friends over, and so I just need to make sure that furniture is available, there's seating available, and that we'll have a positive, consistent, glitch-free viewing experience.
And are you liking the Sunday thing still, or where are you at with that?
I like it because I get to watch other football on Saturday. It is the only reason that I like it. Other than that, I'd rather have it on Saturday.
And I will give a shout-out to some of our listeners from Europe. I was chatting with them last night, and it didn't – for us, you know, it's Labor Day on Monday, the day after the game, so we don't have to worry about staying out late. But they don't have a holiday. And so one guy is from England. The other guy is from Holland, and McManus, which we've had him, he's been on the podcast, called in already, or we met him last fall.
I don't think he called in, but we met him.
They're both planned to take off the Monday after the game, because technically the game, I think, starts at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and so it ends at 5 or 6.
That's true fans right there.
Yes, that is, and I think both of them have said they haven't missed a game in a couple years, so that's dedication right there, and I know they're excited because they were on Twitter last night, and it was the middle of the night, so they're already losing sleep in anticipation of this game.
Our local media gets upset about all these night games, but...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure that McManus would just be glad to cover a game at 7 o'clock in the evening, so...
All right.
Anyways, I thought I'd give them a shout-out. Yes, definitely keep watching games, and if you ever need some motivation, talk with them. They'll get you hyped up for the game.
All right, so let's start with our predictions. Total touchdowns by the tight end group is at 3.5, and I did get some of these. UHND.com had two articles, one on offense, one on defense, with some over and under predictions for the upcoming season. And so I pulled some of the poll questions from them, and some of them I just made up, and I had to draw a line where I thought it was reasonable, so I wanted to give them a little shout out. UHND.com. So for the first one, total touchdowns by the tight end position group is at 3.5. We'll just go around the circle, and then we'll just go around the circle. I think that this is actually going to be under. I think with Alize Jones, I would have picked the over. But without him,
what?
I don't know what we have with Nick Wisher. Jerm Smythe, I think, is solid. But even if Smythe is more consistent than Koyak, Koyak only had two touchdowns as a senior. And even though I think that these guys are more talented, especially together, it's more talented, I still just don't think we're going to get over 3 and get to 4. So I'm picking the under on that one.
I should just ask you right away, are you going to be the Debbie Downer of this podcast?
Probably.
I'm going to go with over on that. I think with the tight end position, we got a couple good tight ends there. Obviously, Alizé is out, but he didn't have any touchdowns last year, like we've continued to mention.
I know. However, he's the most talented one of the group.
Okay, might be. But I think these guys can score more than that.
What is the tight end group consists of right now?
Nick, four guys. Durham. Yeah.
Luatua.
And Matusko.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Pretty much Smythe and Wisher.
I got to go with the under on that one.
Okay.
I mean, you got two blocking tight ends. Yeah.
Well, the one reason I would say over is because we don't have an experienced wide receiver group like we did last year. So I think the tight ends will have a lot more targets, especially in the red zone this year, just because of that, because we don't have that experience in the wide receiver group.
And most of the listeners of the podcast agree with you. 85% voted for the over. So most of the, at least on our podcast, most of the guys agree with you, Randall. All right, total touchdown by any wide receiver. So not a group, but individually, is at 9.5. So Torrey Hunter's pretty much the only expectation there. And even for this one, I'm going with the under on this one as well. Even though I think he's head and shoulders above the other guys right now, I don't think he will be head and shoulders above the other guys once the season's over. I think CJ Sanders will take some of those touchdowns away and EQ.
How many touchdowns did Will Fuller have last year?
15.
Okay, that sounds about right. I'd have to look. Man, this one could go either way. I'm going to go with the under on this one. Just because, obviously, Torrey Hunter is the leader of the group, which in one of those player interviews that they do, Torrey Hunter said that they call him Dad, and the other receivers just call him Dad because the punter, Newsom, was giving him a hard time about being the old guy on the receiver room. He's like, yeah, most of them just call me Dad.
And he's still got one more year left.
But he doesn't have as much experience either. He doesn't have as much experience as Will Fuller did. I'm going with the under on this one.
I'll take the over on that one.
All right.
Are you keeping track of all this, Ruben?
I am. Twitter poll had...
Do you need a wide receiver who's going to do it?
No. Okay. Well, would you pick someone other than Torrey Hunter?
I would, yeah.
Who would you pick?
EQ.
Okay. I do agree with you. I think he's has the highest ceiling from all the receivers that Notre Dame has right now, but I just don't think he'd be. I don't think he'll be the leader this year.
When you look at our previous question on the tight ends, I think he's going to make up for some of that, the lack of like end zone threat, red zone threat. I think he becomes that guy.
That would be great because we definitely need that red zone threat.
And this was on the Twitter poll. This was a little bit closer. It was 43% under and 57%. Sorry, 43% over, 57% under. For the next one, total pass yards. And that is at pretty much same as it was last year. Last year, Notre Dame as a team passed for 3,360 yards. So the line's at 3,359.5 yards.
So a half yard less.
Well, I should have just made it even because it's, yeah. So I'm picking the under on this one as well. Just because we don't have Will Fuller, I think the drives will be more reliant on the run. I think it won't be a lot of huge dynamic plays like it was last year, and I know some of that was from the running game as well. But, yeah, I just don't think that with the receivers, inexperience at receivers, inexperience or lack of talent at tight end, I think it'll be very close to that, but I think it will be under on that.
I think I'll agree with you on this one. I think it's going to be under, especially since you have the two quarterbacks, at least at this
point.
Well,
and this is combined passing yards.
I know, but I think there'll be more of a quarterback run game if Zaire is playing. And with the running backs that we have, I think it's definitely going to be focused on the run, and they won't actually need to pass as much and get that many yards. So I'm going with the under.
With what will go down as one of the worst defenses in the Brian Kelly era, I got to go with the over on this. Forcing us to throw Kaiser to throw for 400 yards a game.
I guess, real quick, do you think this defense would be worse than last year?
Well, the thing is, we haven't seen a BVG defense without a Jalen Smith.
True. So. But we also haven't seen it without
a Joe
Schmidt at middle linebacker.
Valid point.
Yeah. I guess we did for half a season, and that didn't look too good either. All right, most are rushing yards by an individual player. So this is not as a group, but individual player. 999.5 yards, over or under. I'm picking the over, finally, on this one here, and I do think it will be Josh Adams.
I'm going to go with the over, and I think we'll have two running backs that have over 1,000 yards. We were close last year. I think they can do it this year.
So you're saying two over 1,000?
Yeah.
I'll go with the over on this one as okay. well.
And that's
but just one running back.
Who do you say is going to be over?
I would have to go with Tarian Fulston.
Oh, so you agree. Okay?
I like that.
I think he's going to be the. At the end of the day, he's the all-purpose back. So.
Yeah, I think that's why, Josh Adams. Fulston can do it by getting the majority of the carries. Josh Adams will have that long run that'll pick him up yard, that'll, you know, get him yards to get to that 1,000 yard. What did he have, 700 some last year? And he wasn't even, you know, there's quite a few games where he hardly played.
And the Twitter poll agrees with us as well, 82% over, 18% under. All right, next one, total rushing yards is at 2,999.5 yards. Over or under on 2,999 yards? And
do you know what it was last year?
That's I was going to just double check. I had looked it up.
Which way are you going to go?
It was 2,700 yards last year, 2,703 yards last year. And I'm going with the over on this one. I think
wow.
their lack of, and maybe this will change throughout the season, but to begin the year with, I think they're going to have to rely on running the ball. And even especially against Texas, where they might be worried that our defense might get wore down if Texas is able to run a bunch of plays, I think they'll play clock management and try to keep the game as slow or as short as possible. So I'm picking the over on that one.
So question to you is, how are you picking the over, but you only have one rushing or running back over 1,000 yards? Well, I guess it'll be split up pretty evenly.
No, I think that there's someone else that we're forgetting about that might get a decent amount of carries, assuming he'll be back in play, Dexter Williams. But no, I think Josh Adams will have a huge year and a couple hundred over 1,000 yards.
I'm going to go with the under on this one. I think we're kind of contradicting. I'm the one picking two running backs over 1,000, but going with the under on this. Because we don't know how long Dexter Williams is going to be out. Tony Jones, you know, we don't know. Obviously, Brian Kelly wants to redshirt, which I don't think is going to happen. The quarterbacks are going to pick up some yards, but I'm still going with the under on this.
I got to go under. 250 yards a game sounds crazy, especially with replacing a couple guys on the O-line. So,
and our Twitter poll had 64% with the over, 36% with the under. All right, next up. Oh, this is just a little side note. I didn't put this in the Twitter poll, but out of each of Brian Kelly's years, the rushing yards per game has gone up. And last year it made a pretty big jump to 5.63 yards per rush. Do you guys think that that's able to go higher than it was even this past year? I don't think it will. I think that last year we had a bunch of big runs, big plays that skewed that number a little bit. I don't think we'll be averaging 5.6 yards per rush as a team this year.
I would agree. I would agree with you on that.
That's a big number to like top. I mean, when you especially when you look at CJ Pro size, and he was able to make something out of nothing on multiple plays during a game. So making that number look a lot better than what I think we'll have this year.
All right, this is one of my favorites here. Chris Finke, over and under 6.5 yards or 6.5 receptions. And this is one I just made up. I looked at what Will Fuller had as a freshman. Finke isn't a freshman, but his first year playing. And I believe he had 7 receptions as a freshman, Will Fuller. So I went with 6.5, and I was going back and forth. I wasn't sure what to make this. I'm going over on this. But go ahead, Randall.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the over because it sounds like he has the he beat out Corey Holmes for the backup slot position. So I'm going to go with the over on that one.
I think on senior day alone, he's going to get 6 receptions. So oh, wow. I'm going with the over.
And is he what? How many years has he been in the program? Is he a senior?
I believe he is. I'm not sure if he probably has another year left after this, I'm guessing. Obviously, because we haven't seen him.
Yeah. And on Twitter, it was 71% over, 29% under on that one. And then points per game. Last year, Notre Dame scored 34.2 points per game. Do you think that, are you going with the over on that or the under? Will Notre Dame score more points per game in 2016 than they did last year? And I do have a rundown here of the last few years, or the years in Brian Kelly era. In 2011, it was 29.2. In 2012, it was 25.8. In 2013, 27.2. And then we see a jump here in 2014 up to 32.8. And then last year, 34.2.
So here's a question for Ruben. Ruben, do you think, are you going with the over and under, or under as far as Tony mentioning the bad defense when he answers this question?
With that same number?
Yeah. I think 34, I'm going with the over. I think they can get a little bit higher than that. It won't be very much at all, but I'm going with the over.
Tony?
Got to go with the over for stated reasons earlier.
And I'm going with the under, so.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to look at these predictions at the end of the season.
Well, and I'll post them on the website. Well, maybe I won't. I guess, yeah, we won't really know where we're coming out on this until the end of the season anyway. Okay, guys, before we move on to the defense predictions, I do want to mention fanessentials.net. It's a great way to get It's a great way to get sporting gear sent right to your door. It's $35 a month. You can get mugs, visors, sunglasses, T-shirts. They'll send a variety of fan gear to your doorstep, and they're picked out by fans just like you. They don't have it for Notre Dame football right now, but they do have the pro teams. If you're an NBA or NFL fan, they've got you covered there. Simply go to fanessentials.net, and when you check out, use promo code Irish Sports Talk without spaces, and you'll get a 15% discount. And we'll also be giving away a free month for a listener who retweets this episode. It'll be episode number 323, and it'll be pinned at the top of our Twitter page. So head over there, retweet, and you'll have a chance to win your first month free. Last week's winner was the Superfan. And hopefully here in a few, hopefully soon we'll be getting some pictures back from some of these fan baskets, and we'll be sharing them on Twitter as well so you guys get an idea what you might be getting. But you can just head over there too to the website, and they show some previous month's baskets so you can see what you might be getting. So check it out, fanessentials.net. Use promo code Irish Sports Talk.
Just a clarification from earlier, Chris Finke is a sophomore, so we actually have a lot of Finke to look forward to.
And maybe I should have made the over and under. We all went over. Maybe we should have made it more. I mean, 20 catches, I'd really have to think hard at 20 catches. I mean, I don't know if he would get that many catches.
Well, Brian Kelly mentioned that he'll also be out there returning kicks or punts. He said he's kind of the 1B to Sanders on the punt return. So they need him to do that at all. He'll be doing that. So even if he doesn't have a lot of receptions, he's going to be out in the field. You'll know who he is by the end of the year.
So let's just make a prediction. How many catches do you think he'll have? I'm going with 17. I think he'll have 17 catches.
Is he projected as a slot guy?
Or yeah.
Is he,
yeah.
Back up to CJ Sanders.
I'm going to go just a little bit lower and say 15.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, 15 is a pretty safe number, I'd say.
All right, so on defense, we don't have quite as many lines we wanted to get to, but starting off with the linebackers, as a group, total of sacks, 12.5. I'm going way under on this one.
Wow.
Way under. Surprise me, but I'm going way under on this one.
I would agree with you. I'm going with the under on that.
That's a really bad defense.
Well,
what was the, how many sacks the linebackers have last year?
I didn't look. This was one of the lines that I pulled from UHND.com.
I shouldn't say a bad defense, but for one that blitzes as much as we try to do.
But it depends where the blitzes are coming from. I mean, that number should have been insane last year with Jalen Smith on the team. But I do think some of that was due to the fact that he had to clean up Joe Schmidt's mess that he left out there. So,
and that's been well discussed. I'll go with, you went with the under?
Yeah.
Man. You know, looking at our linebacker, like the roster, right now we have a lot of question marks. I go with the under too.
All right, and on Twitter, we had 44% under, 44% over, 56% under. So, most of the listeners agree there. Interceptions from the defensive backs at 10.5, and this is just by the defensive backs. So last year there was 7. In 2014, there was 13. In 2013, there was 8. And in 2012, even though we had a high number of interceptions, a lot of those were by
Manti Te'o,
yes. It was 8 in 2012, 8 in 2013, 13 in 2014, and 7 last year. At 10.5 interceptions, I'm taking the over on this one. We've got Cole Luke, who had a down year statistically last year, but I think that was just some bad luck. And we've got Sean Crawford as our nickelback now. And so I'm picking the over. I think between those two guys, I think we'll pick up, each of them will pick up a handful of interceptions.
I'm going with the over because Notre Dame is playing 9, possibly 10 first-year starting quarterbacks.
And that's the only reason I'll go with the over, too, is just because of inexperience.
Yeah, I mean, that's my
So, Tony, if Notre Dame ends up with a defense where they're holding teams to an average of 15 points per game, is that...
Which isn't even possible.
The defense is still horrible, but the offense we were playing, they were just bad.
It's a lose-lose for the BBG. No.
I'm actually feeling a lot better. I think they'll do good this year. I think that overall, the team is more athletic. The defense is. I think they'll be able to make more plays. And the big thing that I'm not, there's not the senior guy, the older guys can now help the younger guys, you know, learn the system. You know, the last 2 years, you know, the older guys were learning, you know, with the freshmen, they were all learning the same thing. Now the experienced guys can help the younger guys, you know, catch on to what's going on, and it's not like the entire group is trying to figure it out. So I actually think the defense is going to be better.
Are we allowed to discuss, hash this out right now?
Sure.
I disagree with that for three reasons. You can't replace Jalen Smith, Sheldon Day, and Kavari Russell. Three draft picks.
Yeah.
And expect better results. Unless, you know, one blessing in disguise is with Max Redfield dismissed, hopefully that forces us to simplify the back end of the defense, but.
It is true. So even with the younger guys or the older guys being able to teach the younger guys, one of the old guys that was able to do that is no longer on the team at a position where we probably needed it the most. This is one where we're completely opposite from the listeners. 56% picked the under on the interceptions, and 44 picked the over. So it was close, but disagreement there.
So, Randall, you would say basically those three players, or what Schmidt gave up, those three players didn't basically made up for, that equals itself out.
Yeah, I mean, they should have been, I agree, you're not going to, Jalen Smith is an insane player, but I think he couldn't play to his potential because of what he had to do to cover the other guys. They could have done so much more with him. If you'd have had a Coney, or a, can you imagine if Niles Morgan, well, this is my
friend. I don't even know how good he's going to be for sure.
I know, but I think he's going to be really, really good. I'm just saying, can you imagine having Niles Morgan instead of Joe Schmidt out there? Him doing what he's going to do this year, and Jalen Smith being turned loose and getting more than one or two sacks for the year.
I agree.
That right there would have made a huge difference. And then, I guess the one downside is the safety. I'm not convinced about the safeties because I think there's a good chance of them getting burned on some deep passes because Tranquil is not that cover guy, and you're going to have a true freshman. That's the weakness of this team. But I think if you look at even the defensive line, I think the average play, like if you look at the group, I think the average play is going up, like it's getting better.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, you're replacing Sheldon Day, insane player, but the rest of the guys, everybody's a little bit better. You look at the linebackers, yeah, you're giving up Jalen Smith, but the whole linebacker group is better, or will be.
But look at the secondary. You had Kavari on one side and Cole Luke on the other side, and to me, we probably haven't seen a combo or a duo like that. I mean, two NFL cornerbacks.
Yeah,
I don't think we've had that since Shane Walton, and I can't think of the guy who's opposite. I think those are NFL guys.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Randall, though. I think, yeah, you lose some definite star power, but as a whole, I do think that there is more talent and better playmakers as a whole.
Your second cornerback is a guy that was going to beat out Matthias Farley as a true freshman. And Matthias Farley had to play a lot last year. And the other thing, this year, at least at the start of the year, they can play their nickel package. I mean, they totally dropped that after the injuries. So I think they'll have, which you probably don't want to hear this, but they'll have even more options.
That's one of the problems. When you look across the two deeps, there's so many question marks right now.
I agree.
There's so much talent, but
a lot of this is on speculation because there are a lot of new guys. I agree. There's not a lot of proof that they can do this because they're inexperienced, but at this point, I'm saying they're going to be like better.
One huge question mark that I see that could cause problems down the road is Jerron Jones, how many snaps we'll get out of him. You know, there's talk that it might only be 30 snaps a game, or maybe he will be close up to 50 snaps a game. But we know he's not going to be in on every play like Sheldon Day was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another reason I think that they're going to try to play as few snaps as possible and slow things down on offense because of that.
But that is,
yeah, but they have Kelly's a rotate. They have a much better rotation on the defensive line than they did last year. I mean, I think with
we have
Jones, Tillery, Cage, some of the other guys are starting to step it up. You got Hayes, Trombetti, Rochelle. I mean, they can even move Rochelle inside. I think they have a better rotation. You know, maybe these guys do need to play less snaps, which Jerron Jones did not like that comment at all. But it remains to be seen what they can do. I just think the average is a lot higher than it was last year. I don't know what the average would be, you know, what you're going by as far as average, but I just think the overall players are better.
To be determined later. No, we're just talking about the defensive line. Now we got to go. I mean, when you go back to linebackers, there's two more question marks, so.
Yeah. I don't like the fact that Coney, you know, who knows how long he'll be out. Hopefully it isn't very long.
Well, Kelly did say he's available. At this point, he's available for Texas, so nothing's been
It was up to him, they would play, but I guess it's up to the school now to determine that.
Their legal hearing is tomorrow, is that right, on Tuesday?
I'm not sure. Devin Butler's was last Tuesday, which that is going to be an interesting case.
We know where that one's going.
Yeah.
All right, points per game for this defense. Last year in 2015, it was 24.1 points per game. In BVG's first season in 2014, it was 29.9 points per game. In 2013, it was 22.4. In 2012, it was 12.8. And in 2011, it was 20.6. The average out of the top 20, the teams that ended in the top 25 last year was 22 points per game that they gave up. Do you think that Brian Van Gorder will continue to improve the defense where it is over or under 22 points per game that his defense gives up? And this is total points, so if the offense, if it'd be a pick six, this would be added in these numbers here as well.
Okay.
I'm going with the over. I mean, I think it'll be closer to 22 than it will be to 24, but I don't think it'll be under 22 points per game.
I'm feeling confident. I'm going with the under. I think they'll be at like 19.9 maybe, but they'll get under 20, and that's how we've discussed this before, even last year. That's what they need to do. If they can hold teams under 20 points a game, this offense is good enough to win the game.
Well, and it's 22 is where I had the line.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying my benchmark was 20 points per game before, and I think they'll get just under that, which will
see. I just can't imagine not giving up three touchdowns, and I can't imagine giving up fewer than three touchdowns in four quarters. Anyway.
Just reading those, I can't believe how you forget how good the defense was in 2012. 12.8 points a game. That's
insane.
Amazing. But I gotta go with. I think it's gonna be 22 right there. I'll go with the over. You know, it's gonna help a lot playing rookie. I mean, freshmen, some freshman quarterbacks, and a lot of first year starters. So.
And that's just the average. You're gonna give up more than that to some teams, and other teams you're gonna. You know, holding to hardly any points.
Yeah, I know.
So.
All right, we want to discuss some breakout players. Well, are there any other lines that you guys thought of that you'd want to discuss? Any other predictions?
Will Brian Van Gorder be back next year?
Well, it all depends on this season.
Yeah.
We should do an over-under on injuries just for the...
Ooh, that could be...
That's tough, though. Is it injuries that where they're out, where they miss at least one game?
You're going to jinx the team. You're going to jinx the team if you do this.
Hey, it can't get worse than the last 2 years.
That's true. This is actually the year, the breaking point. If there's a lot of injuries this year, like I've said before, they're going to have to change something with their strength and conditioning program. If this year they have a lot of injuries, something is going to have to change.
Well,
with
and
that.
They have changed some things with monitoring yeah. players. So if it's much better, I'd say that they need to continue that and do more of it because they're headed in the right direction.
But if there's a lot of injuries this year, you can't just blame it on bad luck, and they got to figure something out.
At that point, you just bulldoze the place and start over.
Yeah.
All right. The NFL is several weeks into preseason, and it's time to get your fantasy team ready, time to do some mock drafts, get ready for that. The best way to do that is with Pro Football Focus. They've got a great deal going on now with FanDuel, where you can get a Pro Football Focus Gold subscription, which is a $40 value for free. We have a banner over on our website, irishsportstalk.net. Just click on the banner on the right side where it says Special FanDuel Offer. That'll open up a page on Pro Football Focus. And then they have three different subscription levels. The Fantasy Gold you can get for free with a $10 FanDuel deposit. And you can just follow the instructions on that page to get that done. And take ownership of your fantasy football team this year. I'm feeling pretty confident about myself. And what's really cool about this tool from Pro Football Focus, you can actually import your team from ESPN or Yahoo or other fantasy football programs or services. So it's pretty amazing. All right, breakout player on offense and on defense. I've been going first most of the night, so let's just start with Tony. Start with offense. Who's your breakout player on offense?
Breakout player on offense. I'm going to go with, even though he's we have yet to hear what his status for sure is, but I'm going to go with Kevin Stefferson. Pretty much, it seems like a wide receiver is a safe choice at this point.
Someone's got to step up.
If we don't have a breakout player at wide receiver, we've got issues. Yeah, this one's a little hard. I'm trying to decide between a couple of guys, but I think I'm going to end up going with the tight end, Nick Wisher. I think he's going to step up his game and score some of those touchdowns for the tight end group.
All right. So the two guys I was thinking about, you guys didn't pick on, but assuming he plays, I'm going with Dexter Williams. All right, on defense, breakout player on defense, Tony.
There, once again, there's question marks all over the board here. So, but I'm going to go with the safety, and I'm going to go with Devin Studsill.
I like that pick. I'm going to go with Niles Morgan. Maybe it's a little more predictable.
That one there, you know he's going to play a lot. If he doesn't play well, our defense is toast.
Yeah. So you want some? That's not a breakout player.
I want
you.
Someone else. Yeah. And you'll probably say the same thing about my pick.
Well, then I'll have to go with. Man, I would probably. I was going to decide between Studsill or Jay Hayes.
Okay.
Jay Hayes or Dalen Hayes?
Well, either one of those actually.
Dalen has looked really good this year.
Yeah.
Or so far.
Well, yeah. think about it, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay. I'll pick one of those guys.
I kind of called you out on Niles Morgan, but I was actually going to say Nick Watkins or Sean Crawford, which is pretty much
the same thing.
Which is the same thing. So I'll go with Dalen Hayes. And now you can pick someone else.
Hey, you can pick Sean Crawford because he hasn't done anything. I mean, if he has a good year, he's a breakout player. It's just, you're expecting it, I guess. I guess it depends how you want to term that. But I'll go with Devin Studsill.
Okay.
I'll go with Tony's pick.
All right. We've got some news from Notre Dame's press conference that we want to get to as well, or just not really news, but just thoughts on that, what was shared there.
One of the big things that happened was obviously the announcement of the captains. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just still chuckling how I stole your pick.
Yeah. Now I know why you kept wanting me to change it. The announcement of the captains. Were you surprised at who was named as captains? I mean, it's Torrey Hunter and Mike McClinchy on offense. Then you have James Onuwalu and Isaac Rochelle.
I'm not surprised with Isaac Rochelle or the linebacker or James Onuwalu. I'm not surprised with those two. I'm not surprised with Mike McClinchy. I guess I'm a little surprised with Torrey Hunter, but just as far as personality, but you need someone else on offense, or that's kind of the way that Brian Kelly made it sound, that they wanted, or now they have two on offense, two on defense. And I guess I'm kind of surprised that Folston wasn't one of the guys.
Yeah, maybe. This year it definitely wasn't as big a question, you know, who's going to be captains. I know other years we've, like, that's been a poll question that we put out, you know, who's going to be the captains. This year there wasn't really a question. It seems like you can pick from quite a few guys. Did you guys watch the video where Brian Kelly announced that? Watch ND had it where they announced the captains.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with what Isaac Rochelle said.
Yes.
The other guys, you know, they were like, they said their thing, and the other said this.
It's the same thing.
It was the same thing. But Isaac Rochelle got up there, and it seemed like he can actually motivate the guys.
And it was a thoughtful.
He's definitely, I think he's like, if, doesn't the NFL have the stars? Like, they each have one, like, it kind, they kind of have a ranking with the captains.
I'm not sure how they do it.
I think so. I thought I had to figure it out. But, I mean, they all, there's usually like four captains, and, you know, they might, they're filled in. Like, they have, all of four stars are, but some are filled in, and some, I might be completely off on that. Anyways, I think Isaac Rochelle is is the number one leader on this team. I mean, he just seems like the guy that's able to motivate everybody, and I think they have confidence in him.
And I liked what he said. It wasn't rah, 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 let's go win a national championship. It was very thoughtful, and I don't remember exactly word for word what he said, but pretty much, we're very blessed to be here. Let's take advantage of that opportunity. And yeah, I was really impressed by it. I didn't, obviously we don't know these guys, but I was just impressed with how well thought out his speech was.
Well, Brian Kelly said he basically go to Sheldon Day's spot. What are you going to say?
It was more like what you expect from like Manti Te'o.
Yeah.
Whereas the other guys were like, let's go get a natty.
Yeah.
Let's do this. And then that was it.
Last year, you know, Joe Schmidt always did his scream before the... I think I'd have to double check, but I think somebody asked, was it Mike McClinchy?
I believe...
They asked one of the guys, like, are you going to keep doing that this year? And he was like...
Yeah, they asked Niles Morgan.
They asked Niles Morgan.
Niles Morgan, and he was like, no, he never really got why he did that anyways. It's just kind of funny, the reply he gave, like...
Which, I wonder what... Do you guys know what Joe is doing in his career?
He was at Notre Dame just in the last couple weeks.
He's actually involved with Notre Dame something. I don't know if it's...
He had a football-related surgery a couple weeks ago. He said hopefully the last, so...
He was doing some... like media type stuff too.
He was really good on the, I don't know if they called it podcast or radio show they did with Jack Swarbrick. It was really good. I liked it.
I'd say Dylan has a future with that.
Going back to the captain thing, one thing that probably more frustrating for me of this whole quarterback situation, I love both quarterbacks. I think being you could have picked anybody across on offense or on offense. And then, but you can't pick one of the two quarterbacks. That kind of sucks for the team because they are, at the end of the day, they are the leaders. Like maybe they should have been the two captains.
Well,
because Torrey, he's kind of a quiet guy. He's not, they might call him dad, but
that's because he's old.
I agree. The only reason that it makes sense for me with Torrey is because they're weak at the wide receiver spot and he is a veteran there, even though he hasn't done a lot there.
Question. Do you know how many, which I think this is from Loose Emoji mentioned. You know how many quarterbacks have been captains at Notre Dame? Out of like, I think it's like 130 some captains. You know how many of them have been quarterbacks?
No.
Probably not that. I mean,
I think 10? It's at 10, yeah.
You would think it'd be.
You would think it should be. Brian Kelly has never had a quarterback as a captain.
I thought Tommy Reese was captain the one year.
He was going to be, but wasn't that the year that he got
arrested or something?
Police officer or something.
I mean, there was a potential of that, but it just never...
Well, I assume if there would have been... If one of the two quarterbacks would have been a starter, I would definitely assume that guy would have been a captain.
Yeah. I agree with you. I like the idea of having quarterback as a captain. But last year, I did not like the idea of having a guy like Matthias Farley, somebody that's not even a starter, every down starter, as a captain. I just think a captain needs to lead by example on the field. I mean, let his play, because it's hard for a guy when he makes a mistake, it's hard for him to get after somebody else because he can't do his own job.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to pick a guy, you know, since there are two quarterbacks. I would agree. If there had been one quarterback, I think he would have been a captain.
All right. Anything else, Randall, from the press conference?
The safety depth, to talk a little bit about that. Brian Kelly, I mean, it looks like Studstill is going to be number one safety. And then as far as backup, he didn't say any name, but he was like, he's got a pretty good sixth-year player that can fill in, which is obviously Avery Sebastian. So it looks like he might move over to free safety, backup, Studstill, help him out. And then he also mentioned Nico Fertitta and Jalen Elliott as two other guys that could help out at that position. So the media was pretty worried about the safety depth, but of course Brian Kelly shouldn't be. I mean, he isn't going to show it, but he didn't seem worried at all. He was like, "We've got playmakers back there. He's not worried about it."
The way I look at it, we've got three more weeks until we really, really need a free safety that has confidence, knows what he's doing. I think Texas. Maybe it'll be closer than I think, but I think Notre Dame will handily win that game, and then obviously the week after that. And then Michigan State is really where I think if it's not going to be Studstill, I think you're going to have problems. Because if it's not Studstill and it ends up being either Fertitta or Avery Sebastian, I just think that you're going to have problems big problems down the road.
Yeah, it's definitely not who I would pick to be the backup to be playing that position, but kind of the whole safety position is like that, actually.
Who do you think gives up more big passing plays, the free safety or Drew Tranquil?
Oh, man. That's a little tough because you got a true freshman. He's going to bite on some fakes that, you know, an experienced guy wouldn't.
I think I'm going with Drew Tranquil.
It will be interesting to see how he responds to his injury, because we saw what, you know, Joe Schmidt, it obviously didn't have that lateral quickness that he did before the injury. So
he came back looking really good against after the first injury, but yeah, you just never know.
So once again, another question mark on defense.
But you can't blame that on BVG, the injuries.
If we do have a good year, I'll blame it on the opponent's inexperience at quarterback.
There's no way to win this argument.
Have you ever been on the podcast with
Ryan Thiel?
With Ryan Thiel?
I don't think so.
Okay. I mean, he's at least last week spoke, he was a big fan of Brian Van Gorder, and yeah.
Well, no, that was at the beginning of the year, and then he was not a fan of him at the end because he was doing stuff that he shouldn't have been. He was wondering why they did that, so he definitely changed his tune.
Okay. All right, what else do we have?
I was going to ask you, does it worry you? You know, you're a big Josh Adams fan, which I'm too. I hope he's great. But does it worry you that it would have been last Tuesday, day of the press conference, was the first day that he looked like Josh Adams,
and
he got banged up a little bit.
Let me clarify, I'm not a bigger fan of Josh Adams than I am of Tarian Folston. I'm just a bigger believer.
Okay.
In Josh Adams, yeah, it does worry me that he's been hampered with injuries here and there, and it worries me throughout the season. Maybe he, even if he's close to 100%, looks good in game one, he might tweak something in the second week, and it might hurt him the rest of the season. Yeah, it definitely worries me.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. He has experience. Not like it's a young guy that needs to practice. He is a running back, so.
Yeah, it worries me more in the sense of playing time. Like, maybe he's too hurt to play. But I do think, I'm not worried then as a group, though, because we do have Folston, who I do think is a very solid running back, and Dexter Williams, and Tony Jones Jr.
Yeah, and one of the other things that was mentioned, the quarterbacks, they're kind of settling in. You know, they know that they're both going to play against Texas, and so they've actually, you know, calmed down a little bit. And Brian Kelly said they're louder, more assertive, and you know, but he didn't say they're working together, but they're doing a good job of, you know, doing what they need to do. Colin McGovern is the left guard. He's going to start at left guard.
Right guard, sorry.
So they got that figured out.
Is that set in stone for good, or is there a possibility that Tristan Hodge might, unless there's issue with the offensive line or...
Yeah, or against McGovern. Texas, Colin McGovern is going to start.
Okay.
I don't really know beyond that, because it's already been mentioned that McGovern and Hodge are two different kinds of players. So I'd say, depending what team you're playing, you know, maybe Hodge could get more playing time in a game. So... but as of now, McGovern is starting versus Texas. And honestly, I don't want too much moving around on the offensive line. I want the guys, once they have their position figured out, to stay there and learn to play together. I mean, that, I think that's the biggest strength in an offensive line. And then Jay Hayes is practicing again. So that seems to be a go. But that's about it.
All right. We'll be doing our preview for Texas. You'll have that on by Thursday morning. You'll have that Wednesday night or Thursday morning.
Do you, I guess just quickly, what is your game predict, like win losses? What are you guys predicting?
I want to pull up the schedule.
I can tell you.
I think we'll have 10 wins, 10-2, and then I don't know about the bowl game.
Yeah, just the season. Yeah, 10-2. What are you going with, Tony?
I'll go 11-1. I think we'll put it all together.
I agree with you. I was going to go with 11-1. They played Texas, Nevada, Michigan State. I think Michigan State's going to be the first big test. Then Duke, Syracuse, North Carolina State, Stanford, Miami, Navy, Army, Virginia Tech, USC. I think this is the year that the schedule is definitely in Notre Dame's favor. They've got 9, possibly 10 first-year starting quarterbacks, which will help out this defense. And so before the season starts, it looks like the chips are falling Notre Dame's way as far as the scheduling. But, hey, it you never know what's going to happen. But I haven't necessarily picked out who the loss is going to be. I'd say either Stanford or USC. But, yeah, I'm going with 11-1.
And I think I'm more worried about Michigan State and Stanford than I am USC. USC could be really good at the end of the year. But I think Michigan State could be a huge, huge problem for Notre Dame.
They have a new quarterback, and they lost some other guys.
They lost several of their linebackers, so they will be. I mean, they'll be. And once again, they don't have Pat Narduzzi, who's off at Pitt, to train in the new guys like they're used to having.
Stanford, I think the one game basically be like last year, make McCaffrey stop him and make the quarterback beat you, which the quarterback beat Notre Dame last year. But they have, again, they have a first-year starter at quarterback.
But and so keep this in mind. Even with Notre Dame holding McCaffrey in check, they still scored 36 points, 34 points, whatever it was.
Because the quarterback beat him. Well, he played a very good game.
I think our defense was a big part of that as well.
Yeah. Well, basically, they dared the quarterback to beat him, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to happen 2 years in a row. But, yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with a friend. And be sure to retweet this podcast episode on Twitter for a chance to win your Fan Essential basket. And we'll announce that winner later this week on Thursday. Thank you for listening, and go Irish.
Go Irish.